Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the February 2nd, 2025 service at Plymouth, the fourth Sunday in Epiphany. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
From the very beginning, God calls us.
God sets us apart with a meaning and a purpose.
We come up with excuses to avoid our calls, for we are afraid.
But God reassures us in many various ways through the course of our days.
Even if we are brought to the edge of a cliff,
God is with us and sustains us.
Next is the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Next is the hymn, Wonderful Words of Life.
Yeah.
from the Psalms, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I run for dear life to you, God. I'll never live to regret it. Do what you do so well. Get me out of this mess and up on my feet. Put your ear to the ground and listen. Give me space for salvation. Be a guest room where I can retreat. You said your door was always open. You are my salvation, my vast granite fortress. My God, free me from the gift, from the grip of wicked, from the church, from the clutch of bad and bully. You keep me going when times are tough. My bedrock, God, since my childhood. I've hung on you from the day of my birth, the day you took me from the cradle. I'll never run out of praise. Many gasp in alarm when they see me, but you take me in stride. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, Spirit.
From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. I'll be reading the translation from the Message by Eugene Peterson. So if you were to follow along in your pew Bible, you'll find it somewhat different than how it is translated there. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Jesus began to explain to them, "You've just heard Scripture make history. It came true just now in this place." All who were there, listening and watching, were surprised at how well Jesus spoke. And they also said, "Isn't this Joseph? Joseph's son, the one we've known since he was a little kid?" Jesus answered, "I suppose you're going to quote the proverb, 'Doctor, go heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we heard you did in Capernaum.' Well, let me tell you something. No prophet is ever welcomed in his hometown. Isn't it a fact that there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah, during the 3.5 years of drought when famine devastated the land? But only the widow to whom Elijah was sent in Sarepta and Sidon. And there were many lepers in the land of the time of the prophet Elisha. But the one cleansed was Naaman, the Syrian." When they'd heard this, that set everyone in the meeting place seething with anger. They threw Jesus out, banishing from the village, then took him to the mountain cliff at the edge of the village to throw him off to his doom. But he gave them the slip and went on his way. This is the word of the Lord. It is hard to take this passage out of context and just say, "Here you go, here's God's word for us today." Because last Sunday we saw Jesus appear in the temple, and on every Sabbath that was his habit, to be in the temple and in temple worship. And so there he was in the temple, and the scroll of Isaiah was handed to him, and he talked about setting prisoners free, healing blind eyes, helping the poor and the hungry, and then announced in our passage, "All this has been accomplished. You've seen it happen just now." Well, today we've seen it happen just now. It's true. Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow. And of course, we know how accurate that is, that 6 weeks and winter will suddenly stop and we'll be into spring. Isn't that correct? I guess that prophet isn't quite with honor in his own hometown either. Our passage today has some depth to it that I want us to do a little plunging into. Let me begin by talking about a quote from the Episcopalian preacher, Barbara Brown Taylor. She tells the story of being at a seminar where everyone at the seminar were invited to share stories about someone who had been Christ to them. And the stories, that invitation, the stories came out of many wonderful things that people had been, gifts they'd been given by people who had been Christ in their lives. One that stood out from all the other stories was a woman who said, "Well, the first thing I thought of when I tried to think of who had been Christ to me was who in my life had told me the truth so clearly that I wanted to hit him." No, actually, she said something far more serious than that. She said, "When they told me the truth so clearly, I wanted to kill them." That's the scene we are in this story about Jesus, where he tells the truth, where his hometown crowd is hoping for him to show off and do the wonders and miracles and signs that he did in other places, but instead he talks about how God's love extends beyond the people of Israel, extends beyond the Jewish people, and touches the lives of others, like the widow who was running out of food and oil. And yet when the prophet Elijah asked her to make a meal for him, she took her last oil. She took her last flour and fed the prophet. And then from that prophet came a blessing upon that house, upon that family, that jar of flour and that bottle of oil never ran out. The story of a leper being healed, a foreigner who led a foreign army. Not a story about Jewish people and the good that God is doing to them, but Jesus told two stories about God's love is beyond you. Jesus was telling the truth that day, and they not only wanted to hit him, they wanted to kill him. Now that's a challenge. Facing the truth when it unsettles us. Facing the words of Christ when they shake us out of our comfort zones. That's what we have in the story of Luke. Jesus speaks a truth that's so outrageous and so unsettling to these, his hearers, his hometown friends and neighbors, that they want to throw this son who grew up among them, Joseph's son, off the cliff. It didn't start that way. At first, there was good news. Jesus, the hometown boy, takes the seat of honor in the local synagogue, reads from the prophet Isaiah and announces that that scripture has today been fulfilled. A scripture of the Spirit of the Lord coming and anointing someone to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, and freedom to the oppressed. Jesus then declares, today all this has happened as you have seen it and heard it. They leap forward and say, "This must be the anointed one. This is the one who's anointed by God to do these things. This Jesus, son of Joseph, the one who's grown up in our midst." Up to this point, it's all good news. They're liking it. Oh, yes, go on this vein. Keep preaching it. Now, I talked in the back row and it required them to behave themselves. And then made the point that if this were a black church, there's a certain amount of back and forth that goes on. No, flying that paper airplane will not do. In a black church, there, when the preacher gets onto a good subject, you hear those in the congregation say, "Tell it, preach it, go. Yeah, let's hear the good news." Jesus was on that type of vein. So that's the time when I was suggesting that you could interrupt me, Ken, with words of
preach it.
Nothing's going on. This is Jesus, the hometown boy. Thank you, Lewis. I have to acknowledge that. Amen. Keep it up. Careful. I better be careful. We've got communion yet, so let's keep a little decor, shouldn't we? And the preacher's turning red beside. Let's move on. These hometown folks think they know Jesus. And they then have moved forward in their thinking that he's not just a hometown boy, but there's something more to him. Could he be the anointed one? For them, it sounds too good to be true, and they're willing to let Jesus prove himself to them. They love his gracious words. Oh, yes, preach it, preach it. They'd also heard rumors of the incredible acts, signs, and wonders he did elsewhere. And now it's his turn to do it there, in the hometown. And this is where the good news turns into the challenge. The kind of challenge that hits them between the eyes. The kind of challenge that wants them to react. Jesus knows what they're thinking. He knows they want to see miracles, to witness something spectacular. But instead of playing into their expectations, he reminds them of two very important stories from the Old Testament, from their own scriptures. The prophet Elijah, during a time of famine in the whole land, all people are hungry, don't have enough to eat. God sends Elijah to an Israelite widow. I'm sorry, not to an Israelite widow, to a Gentile widow in Zarephath. And there is fed a last meal from her stock in her pantry. And then a house is blessed with a flour jar that never runs out, oil that never empties. And a second story then from the prophet Elisha. The many lepers lived in the land. God sent Elisha, not to those, but instead to heal a Syrian named Naaman. The message is clear that God's blessings, God's healing, God's grace are not limited to Israel alone. The love of God extends beyond their boundaries, even beyond their expectations. To put it plainly, this news is not for you. For God so loved the world, every living being, people, animals, God-loving creation that God has put together. This is not about you. We need to face the truth that doesn't fit our assumptions. The challenge of realizing that God's love reaches well beyond us and touches others, even the entire world. It touches the undeserving. And for us, the challenge of accepting that Jesus has not come for us, but for them. And this is at the point where the crowd loses it. They don't reject Jesus because they don't understand him. They understood very clearly. They reject him because they do understand him. He is telling them something they don't want to hear. Fred Craddock, that wonderful preacher, puts it this way. Jesus doesn't go elsewhere because he's rejected by his hometown friends and neighbors. No, Jesus is rejected by his hometown friends and neighbors because he goes elsewhere. This is not about them. This message is not about us. For God so loved the world that God gave his beloved son. Flannery O'Connor captures this moment of this message slapping the hometown crowd upside the head. He captures it in this story called Revelation. two people in this story, because I've surmised it and brought it down to very little. Ruby Turpin. Ruby Turpin is a woman full of self-righteousness. And as she sits in a doctor's office, looking at others in that doctor's office and judging them one after another, her own sense of self-righteousness saying, I am better than you. My ears are better than yours. My speech is better than yours. My vocabulary is so much larger than yours. She's judging herself to be superior to everyone else there. This is Ruby Turpin. She's especially better than everyone else there, especially there in the corner, the poor, unkempt teenager, Mary Grace. And at first, Ruby keeps her judgment to herself, but thinks better of that and says, you know, I need to speak these things aloud. And so she begins to tell Mary Grace, the poor, unkempt teenager in the corner, that she is nothing but white trash, the lowest of the low, and she will never accomplish anything in life worth meaning. Well, in a blink of an eye, Mary Grace slams the book she has closed and then throws it across the room, hitting Ruby, self-righteous Ruby, between the eyes. This, O'Connor writes, was the beginning of Ruby's road toward redemption, being hit with the book between the eyes. For her, the revelation often begins when a large book hits you in the head. Well, this isn't what Jesus did to his hometown friends. He didn't hit them with a book between the eyes. He didn't just throw any book at them. He threw the book. Isaiah, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, those are where those stories come from, right between their eyes. And they couldn't handle it when he told them, this is not about you. It's about God's love. And now it comes home to us. Because on the one hand, we are called to love patiently and kindly, to bear all things, to endure all things. That comes from 1 Corinthians 13. Love saves us from being wounded. But on the other hand, sometimes love wounds, because sometimes love tells us the truth and tells it so clearly to us that we want to throw a book. We want to kill for it. Sometimes love slams a book into our heads so that we wake up and we see what we have been blind to. We thought that God's love only belonged to us, to me. Me especially, and not you. But we need to face the challenge. Jesus' inclusive ministry remains something that we struggle with day in and day out. And if we're honest, we still sit quietly judging the worth of others. We still like the idea that God's blessings are meant for us, but not for them. We still try to constrain the ways of Christ, keeping him obedient to our own rules and our own boundaries. We still have our lists of the unwelcome, whether we call those unwelcome ones liberals or conservatives or unhoused, the addicted, the immigrant, the ex-convict, the non-Christian. The list goes on. And while I've been focusing for a time on the one hand that this is not about us, it's about God's love and loving all of creation, including all people and all living beings. In not too many minutes, we will celebrate at this table a communion where Jesus looks us in the eyes and says, this is my body broken for you. not for the crowd out there, not for the people walking the sidewalks of St. Helens, not for anyone else. This is my body broken for you, and my blood spilt on your behalf. And so the challenge is for us to hold these two in tension. The aspect that this is not about you and me, and yet it is, as God loves us personally, individually. And so the healing balm of God's love is on one hand healing, but it's also a blow to the head. The good news is that the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ is for all people, and we cannot hold it back. Like a dam that has broken, the water will flood the land. God's love will love all people, whether we stand in his way or not. And God will love us even when we're in the wrong. So we need to be transformed by Christ's call. It's a journey of transforming us from where we once were and who we once have been into what God is calling us to be. We, my friends, in days like this, we must face the challenge. We must stand with our neighbors. We must speak words of truth and justice. And when we hear lies, what is our response? Speak truth. Speak truth. This is a challenge before us. Hallelujah. Amen.
Next is the hymn, The Children Come.
I invite you to stand and sing. And remember, this is sung to a very familiar tune, Be Still My Soul. But these words have much to do with immigrants and people coming to this land like our families did.
Of love.
Is the hymn, One Bread, One Body.
The love of Christ and the friendship of Holy Spirit go with us all.